This week, New York City abandoned a 28-year-old experiment which gave community school districts much greater control over their local schools. The change is intended to give the city's chancellor more power in order to root out corruption and improve failing schools. Many educators and parents had been calling for such reforms for decades. But as Beth Fertig reports from member station WNYC, some parents are looking for ways to maintain some local control in the country's largest school system.
In 1969, the New York City school system was decentralized into 32 local districts. This historic reform followed a clash in Brooklyn between teachers and mostly black neighborhood activists who wanted more representation in their schools. While still keeping a central board of education, the new local school districts were created as a means of getting parents and community leaders involved in their schools. But despite these noble intentions, most education advocates concede the plan only backfired.
Decentralization, as it was introduced in 1969, has brought us the worst of both worlds.
Diane Ravitch is a senior fellow at New York University and author of The Great School Wars, a history of the New York City public schools. As Ravitch sees it, the nation's largest school system remained a vast bureaucracy, while the new community boards were mostly run by politicians, not parents. And that's because of their enormous power. They hire superintendents, principals, and some staff.
So many of these community school boards, not all of them certainly, but a significant number, have people on them who've run for office because they see them as a political base or as a source of patronage or the start of their political career, something of that kind.
Over the years, board members have flagrantly demanded bribes to hire principals and superintendents. Some even spent school money on trips to the Caribbean. This year, after a prolonged court battle, school's chancellor Rudy Crewe removed two boards in the Bronx. Meanwhile, decentralization failed to produce educational improvements. Fewer than half the city's elementary school children read at or above national average. And though many schools are successful, about 90 others are so bad they're under state review. So in light of that dubious track record, this week the state legislature voted to strip the community school boards of their tremendous power. From now on, the chancellor will be the one doing the hiring, and he'll also have an easier time removing board members or superintendents. Crewe called these reforms a victory, and so did Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who lobbied unsuccessfully to have the state give him control over the schools. Giuliani says it was more important to solve the immediate crisis.
The chancellor is in an impossible position. We're asking him to get better performance out of the schools, and he doesn't have the ability to hire anybody, fire anybody, or discipline anybody. So I believe in accountability. I want it for myself. Now he has it. And the chancellor now has the capacity to demand performance out of the schools.
But in the rush to give the chancellor greater accountability, some board members say they're being unfairly punished because of a few corrupt individuals. At a press conference this week, board members denounced what they call re-centralization. Loretta Jones, a Bronx school board member, fought for more community involvement back in the 1960s. She says the school board system can work if everyone follows the laws.
I have friends and people that I've known who would never have made up the career ladder, who would never have become teachers and principals had it not been for community control and some input. We are hiring people based on state certification and criteria. We're not going out there picking up people who have no qualifications and appointing them.
These concerns are echoed by parents, who also worry about the recent drift away from community control. Many already feel frustrated by a bureaucratic system that's kept a lot of parents shut out of their local schools.
How are you doing this school?
Good, good. You playing basketball this year?
Here in the Madison Square Boys and Girls Club in a Coney Island housing project, Munir Abdul Hakim prefers to volunteer helping kids with after-school games and tutoring rather than deal with the local schools. The city transit worker says he tried to get involved in his son's elementary school a few years ago. Children were bringing home Xerox textbooks because of budget cuts, and he recalls reading scores that were unacceptable. But Abdul Hakim says there was no parents' association, and he needed permission to even visit his child's classroom because there were so many rules.
If you want to see what your child is learning in school, you know, you basically have to wait till open school night. And it's not laid out to the parent in September. This is what is going to be expected of your child throughout the school year. You have to really be like an advocate just to get basic information.
which is why Abdul Hakim says the problems in the city schools are about much more than corruption. Though he supports giving the chancellor greater authority, he's among many people who say it's unfair to overhaul the top of the system without also doing more to change the bottom, giving parents a substantial role in deciding how their schools are run. The new legislation calls for school-based management teams composed of parents and teachers to be created by 1999, but those teams will have only advisory powers. And parents like Abdul Hakim say that shuts them out, with no real say in hiring or budgeting.
It's like saying, well, I should give my child to a person and tell them, here, you take my child all day, do what you want with them. You don't have to tell me anything. You know, I trust you. You know, that just doesn't make good common sense. You, as a parent, you have to have a trust and a bond with people who are taking your precious child.
School-based councils are now being used in several places, including Chicago, where they've had mixed results. And many states are trying charter schools, which also give parents and teachers significant power. So as school districts around the country experiment with more autonomy, education scholar Diane Ravitch sees New York moving in the opposite direction.
What we see with this legislation is a trend towards greater centralization. And I think that it's going to ultimately prove, not to have much impact on education, which is what this ought to be about. I mean, this is a system with a budget of $8.8 billion. And there has to be accountability for that money. But more importantly, there has to be accountability for educating the million children in the school system. And the chancellor can do a lot, but you can't have a system that's run this big and this complex run completely from the center.
Still, Ravitch and others are hopeful these new reforms will at least mean someone's finally in charge of a system that's been plagued by corruption and failing schools. For National Public Radio, I'm Beth Fertig in New York.